With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Week 15 ranks. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe P's up here. And today, it's Wednesday. And you know what that means? It's time for the rankings. That's right. Playoff time, baby. Let's go. And we brought back a good friend of ours from Sports Illustrated. Bill Enright is back yet again to help us parse through all of these ranks, get you the guys in your lineup you need to, and the guys you can't avoid putting in your lineup, what you need to do to get some spots maybe in the wide receiver three, in the flex, maybe RB2. It might have to make up for some tenuous matchups. Before we get going, though, a happy birthday to our good pal, Pat Fitzmaurice. I want you to flood the YouTube comments with birthday wishes for Patty Fitz. Fitz, what's it like turning 29?
Oh, you know, it's my fourth straight year of 29, Joe. I'm enjoying quite a bit. But yeah, you know, it's like this was definitely a better time to have a birthday when I was a kid. And it was the nice, like, tied me over with a present of some sort before Christmas when I was like, mm-hmm. you know, dying to get it, all that stuff under the tree. Now it's like, I've got fantasy playoffs on my mind. This birthday thing is just kind of an obstacle.
Well, at least you're not too close to Christmas where you got the slash present. That's the worst. Any parent who gives the slash present. Yeah, I mean, come on. That is not fair. It's a terrible thing. So you know, if you're a real parent or friend, you don't buy slash presents. You get them a birthday present and a Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever present. Come on. That's what we got to do. We got presents for you, including the inside of these two gentlemen. We're going to start here with one of the guys that Pat Fitzmaurice has ranked higher than you. So get ready for a little battle on Juju Smith-Schuster.
Wide receiver rankings.
We're going to talk a little Juju here. It's a great game, theoretically, for Patrick Mahomes, who his dome numbers are off the charts good. Pat's got him ranked at wide receiver 25. Bill's got him at 29. The ECR is actually even ahead of Pat. They like him, Juju, so much that they've got him ahead of you, Pat. Now, I stuck my neck out for Juju a couple weeks ago, and it got chopped off. It was no good. I was not happy about this. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I feel like against Houston, I'm ready to learn to love again, and it looks like you are, too.
Yes. And all right, let's show some grit here, Joe. Let's make Dan Campbell happy. Let's bite some kneecaps. So, 100%. Yeah, since week six, Juju's been the wide receiver 16. And granted, he's been a little uneven with his production, kind of feast or famine. He has had six games with 74 or more receiving yards this season and six games with fewer than 46 receiving yards. And all his touchdowns have come in the big yardage game. But man, I'm glad you mentioned the dome thing because I didn't even put that in my notes for this show, that Mahomes is just a monster in dome. So that's a plus. And just give me the wide receiver tied to the quarterback who's averaging 320 passing yards a game. And like, I know I'm going to get questions like, oh, should we worry about, you know, the Chiefs going up by four touchdowns on the Texans and dialing it back? Well, if they do go up by four touchdowns, chances are probably pretty good that Juju's got one of them. So I'm not too worried about the, you know, shut it down early thing.
Yeah, that would certainly, I feel like this Kansas City team is just going to continue to just kind of take out its frustrations on the rest of the league here, because I think they're still so frustrated of losing to Cincinnati. Bill, it's been tricky. Let's be honest here. It's been a tough situation with Juju, because it was terrible from the start. Then there was that really good run, then the concussion. And then I thought it was not fair to be sour on Juju. I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt because it was an injury that took him out. I didn't care that he didn't perform the first game back. You ease him back in, but then it hasn't been great. So I guess it's to you here. Why are you a little concerned still with Juju in this matchup against Houston?
It's the volatility. And I just think it's the nature of the Chiefs offense. It's not taking anything away from his talent or his connection with Patrick Mahomes. I just think the Chiefs spread the ball around. He had 11 targets in week 14. Fantastic. Before that, it was 4, 3, and 4 before going back to double digit targets back in week 12. So if he gets the volume, it pays off. I just don't know if the volume is going to be there this weekend. The Texans do a pretty good job of covering wide receivers. Not saying that Patrick Mahomes is not going to have a ton of success. I'm just saying I don't know which of Patrick Mahomes' playmakers is going to have that success alongside their quarterback.
Here's fun for you. 7-0 in 7 games in the dome for Patrick Mahomes. Completion percentage, 64%. 18 touchdowns, 2 picks. There you go. He likes the domes. And I think he's going to like the Houston Texans defense too. I think it'll be a good time there. So I'm playing the total here, as they like to say, Bill. Just playing the total with Juju and crossing my fingers. Another guy we're kind of crossing our fingers on, great talent, Chris Olave, who we all love. We've seen the flashes of the brilliance, but the touchdowns have been a little hard to find, and as well as the consistency in this New Orleans offense. Pat, you've got him ranked at wide receiver 26 this week. Bill's got him at 30. ECR is actually, once again, right where you are at 25. So you got to hope after the bye, you know, maybe a little bit of extra rest here. We all talk about that rookie wall a lot, Pat, where, you know, these guys only play 12 games in college and some of the games are blowouts and they come out of it sometimes. So those cookie games that they get on those big time college schedules, like Ohio State gets a couple of those every year. But what do you make of Olave this week? Because I've gotten a ton of questions already on him where people really are on the fence. And I understand why, because the last couple of games have been underwhelming. It's been a while since week 11 in that 5 for 102 and a touchdown.
Yeah, and it's funny that I'm like the higher guy on Olave, because when I was putting rankings together, I was like, man, wide receiver 26 feels disrespectful. So I'm glad that Bill managed to be slightly more disrespectful than I was. No, just kidding. Like, I love Olave. I think the ceiling is wide receiver 1, like not just future ceiling. I think like that's the ceiling now in any given week. And it just feels like maybe Andy Dalton is not the quarterback to help Olave recognize that ceiling. And like we see with the efficiency numbers, he's averaging 9.1 yards per target, which is a pretty phenomenal number for a rookie wide receiver. And for sake of comparison, Stephon Diggs is at 9.3 yards per target. Devontae Adams, 8.8, actually lower. So is Jamar Chase at 8.5. Justin Jefferson, he's on another planet, 10.6. So,
you mean the 1-1? Justin Jefferson? You mean that
guy? Yes.
The number one overall player in fantasy football coming into this year? Oh, that guy. You're right. Yes. He's good.
And so, like, Olave is really good, but I understand the trepidation with Andy Dalton. At least the matchup is pretty good this week against the Falcons. So, yeah. I mean,
I'm playing him. I guess the idea is, if you're playing him, do you feel like you really gotta make sure that wide receiver 3 or that flex spot is really locked in? Do you want more volume there, or do you want more upside, I guess is the question.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing a lot. Maybe you're not, though, Joe. Like in a shallower league and a 10-teamer, I think there's probably going to be some people who have options of like, do I flex? You know, is Olave a flex guy for me, or do I put in someone like Zonovan?
Well, I mean, somebody like Juju. I think Juju has more touchdown equity than Olave has. I mean, I know that might be a hot take to some people, but not when you look at the implied team total for the Kansas City Chiefs of this game.
No,
it's just
no.
There. You know, yeah, Bill, what are your thoughts here on Olave too? I want to get your take on him, because this is kind of a polarizing guy. I think everybody loves the talent, but it is against Atlanta. Atlanta has not been what we thought they would be in terms of the defensive backs. They've had some injuries there as well. But what do you make of Olave's matchup this week and coming off the bye? Do you think that, I mean, you've got him lower in the rankings. Are you concerned? Is he a guy in a 2-wide receiver league with a flex that really you're looking for another option besides him?
12-team league, you start 3 wide receivers, he's in your lineup. 2 wide receivers or maybe a flex, then you start, you know, second-guessing yourself. Mm. I have him 1 spot behind Juju. I love the consistency. The upside is just not there. If you're in a PPR league, you can take his six catches for 60 yards, bank those 12 points. He's your wide receiver three. You're very happy with that. But the fact that he's gone over 65 yards just once in four games, he hasn't had a touchdown in his last seven. The Falcons have allowed wide receivers to score just one touchdown in their last five. Love his talent. Hate how they're using him. Mm-hmm. He should be getting double-digit targets every single week. And instead, he's getting six, catching five, and he's going for 63. So outside of the wide receiver two territory for me, again, if you start three wide receivers, he's locked and loaded, and you're happy with his 10, 11, 12 points that he gets you.
All right, let's see how happy we are this week with Alan Lazard on Pat's ranks, wide receiver 28. Bill, not having it. Wide receiver 41. He's done. I can't wait to hear his take on this. Wide receiver 38 is where the ECR is, so a little closer to actually where Bill is. Now, let's talk about this here, because Alan Lazard was kind of steady Eddie, and then that young whippersnapper, Christian Watson, showed up in the town and started scoring a ton of touchdowns. More on him later in the show. We'll talk about him in just a bit. But what's Lazard's return on investment this week, potentially? You've got him at wide receiver 28. That's very, very startable. And certainly a flex option in those two wide receiver leagues. But in a three wide receiver league, Lazard looks like a guy you got to throw out there. So what are your expectations for him, Pat, in week 15?
Yeah, I mean, the appeal for Lazard had been that he was such a prolific touchdown scorer. And, you know, he was averaging like almost one a game. And he was like with that big body, he was Aaron Rodgers' preferred guy. He was basically like Green Bay's goal line back. Yep. He was playing that role that Davante Adams had played for the Packers because Rodgers loves to throw inside the 5 yard line. The Packers do not just, you know, give it to their running back. That is not their MO inside the five. They like to throw. But, you know, after scoring five touchdowns in his first seven games, Lazard's been shut out in his last four. And meanwhile, Christian Watson has scored eight touchdowns in his last four. So, yeah, thunder has definitely been stolen there. But it's not like Lazard has totally disappeared from the offense. He's had 15 catches in his last four games. And it's not like the Rams are this nightmare matchup. Remember when we used to fear the Rams when we were starting like quarterbacks or wide receivers against them? Not so much anymore. They've given up the sixth most receptions and 12th most receiving yards to wide receivers this year, and tied for the 10th most touchdown catches allowed to wide receivers. So not that bad a matchup. And, you know, Green Bay at home in December, it seems like the offense inexplicably usually clicks under those conditions. And it's going to be cold in Green Bay for a night game in late-ish, mid to late-ish December here. So, yeah, I don't know. I understand the concern that Christian Watson has really, you know, kind of relegated Alan Lazard wide receiver four status. I think he's still playable.
The only thing colder than Green Bay is Bill Enright's ranking of Alan Lazard this week. So, Bill, let's talk about the downside of Alan Lazard.
The Packers have not been passing the ball a lot lately. Last three games were in the bottom 10 in passing attempts. And when they do pass, listen, we're all gushing over Christian Watson. When Rodgers does pass, that's who it's going to. So the fact that he hasn't scored in four games, and Pat mentioned it, he was their guy in the red zone. He hasn't been anymore. Five catches seems to be like his max the last few games. He hasn't really gone over that 12-point threshold in the last month. I don't know. When you have such a playmaker like Christian Watson, who I have ranked very high this week, it's tough for me to go out on and get another wide receiver from that same team when Green Bay is just not passing the ball a lot anymore, or at least not passing it to what we would expect from an Aaron Rodgers-led offense.
There you go. Good points there on both sides. We'll see what happens in week 15. Before we flip the script here and talk about the guys that Bill's higher on than Pat this week, don't forget, everybody, there's still plenty of time to get the tools of Fantasy Pros to make your fantasy championship dreams come true. Just yesterday, this is not a promo. This is not, I'm telling you, this is real life we're talking here. Just like that kid after he went to the dentist where he's questioning real life. I'm telling you, this is real life. One of our listeners said, didn't have my playbook, started off 1-4, finished the season with 9 wins in the playoffs right now. I mean, that's it. You don't need a better promo than that. And that actually happened. I was so proud. I said, look, you listened, you went, you got the tools. You can still get them for free. Fantasypros.com/myplaybook. My playbook cheat sheets are available. You can use your favorite experts. Obviously, Pat Fitzmaurice, Bill Enright, some of our favorites here. But whoever your favorite experts are, to get the rankings you need to make sure you have the right guys in your lineup, it's a great tool. Again, it's free. So just download the app, My Playbook. It's on Apple. It's on Google. It's everywhere. Go do it. those of you that's too late to turn your season around, but look, you can still get those fantasy playoffs into fantasy championships. And that's what you want to do. Turn those playoff appearances into championships. Again, fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Do it. It's free. Sync your leagues. Let's go. Let's go with DeAndre Hopkins. And Bill, I got to be honest with you. This is one of the tougher guys this week for me to rank. It's a tough matchup against Denver. He's got Colt McCoy, and I know he's been okay with Colt McCoy before, so that's not really where I struggle. Denver has been really good defensively. They've had some shutdown games, and I know Hopkins is still a great talent. He might not be the elite of elite he was a couple years ago. You've got him ranked this week pretty comfortably, wide receiver 13. Here we go. This is what happens when you get to week 15. But he's actually slipped in the ECR to wide receiver 13, which is where you have him. Pat's got him at 21. So let's talk about it, because Hopkins is somebody that people waited for him to come back. He came back. He was terrific. Now we're in a weird cross world where you don't want to take him out of your lineup. But how do you construct the lineup around DeAndre Hopkins with a lot of these potential deficits he's working against?
So I think you have to go back. We have some data, right? We have some proof of what he did when Colt McCoy was under center. He finished as wide receiver 12 and wide receiver 13, 30 and 18 fantasy points back in, I think, week 10 and 11, whenever Kyler Murray was out. So that's a positive sign, right? Over 90 yards in each of those games with Colt McCoy. Joe, people are scared of the Denver defense. I don't know why. Nick Westbrook had 119 and 2. Davante Adams, 141 and 2. DJ Moore, 103 and 1. And Juju just last week, 74 and 1. So when it comes to top opposing wide receivers, the Broncos are kind of struggling. We've seen wide receivers put up big fantasy points against them. We've seen DeAndre Hopkins put up big fantasy points with Colt McCoy in their center. I don't have a lot of, because if it was Kyler Murray, he'd probably be in my top eight. So I have him. I bumped him down four spots or five spots.
It's an incredibly good argument. I mean,
I'm a start your studs kind of guy.
Well, look, so am I. I am in no way endorsing the concept of sitting DeAndre Hopkins. That's madness. It's just a matter of what you're looking at the rest of your lineup. Where you're trying to make those flex decisions and stuff like that, and trying to say, okay, what if Hopkins underperforms? But you make up a great point. The Denver defense has fallen off. I think they're worn out, Bill. To be honest, I think they're just totally worn out. They've been on the field too much because the offense have been inept. And I think there's a certain point where you get to the end of the season. And look, I know I'm an IDP guy. We do the IDP show all season here. And we talk about this all the time. Like, this is the time of year where the defenses on teams that aren't going anywhere aren't looking for a lot of contact, looking for the plane rides to Hawaii, get some rest. Like, they're not looking. And maybe that's the case. The Denver Broncos are not relevant. So, Pat, let's talk about Hopkins, because your ranking says that you have concerns about his productivity this week. Did Bill alleviate some of those that you might have in some of that, those stats that just threw out, these other wide receivers recently who actually had some pretty good games against the Denver Broncos?
Yeah. I mean, I think the floor is decent, even with Colt McCoy. I just wonder if the ceiling is there. And I'm also kind of concerned that Marquise Brown is back now, and maybe they get Rondale Moore back from a groin injury this week. And this pie gets cut up in more ways, and it's maybe a little bit of a smaller pie with Colt McCoy playing instead of Kyler Murray. Maybe I'm overplaying the matchup a little, but I still don't think it's a great matchup. And yes, some receivers have gone off against the Broncos lately, but I mean, they're still number one as far as fewest fantasy points allowed to the wide receiver position. So it's not a matchup I'm exactly embracing here. I've come up a little on Hopkins. I think I've now got him either wide receiver 19, wide receiver 20, you know, unless it's a really shallow league. Yeah, you're playing him, but I guess he's not the no-brainer slam dunk wide receiver one that I thought he was when he first came back, and, you know, when Marquise Brown was still out.
All right, next guy on the list is Gabe Davis, whose productivity has been all over the map. Since the injury to Josh Allen, he's had one splash game, and that's it. It was against Minnesota. Ever since, it's been underwhelming. This is another player I think people are terrified if they have to start this week, potentially. Now, the matchup on paper, you know, seems pretty good against the Miami Dolphins. Bill, you've got him at wide receiver 26, definitely startable in your world. ECR's at 29, Pat's at 30, so four spots behind you on Gabe Davis. So I know we're looking at Josh Allen kind of soldiering through with his elbow, and it's certainly not the same effervescent, throwing the football all over the place Josh Allen. I think we can all agree on that. But what do you do with Gabe Davis here? Are you looking for somebody who's just going to give you more volume and you just take that and get out? Because the splash plays and the splash games just have not been there in the last month.
I think Gabe Davis is the prototypical ride or die player in the NFL. And if you have him, you knew what you were getting yourself into. You drafted him for those big plays that he can get. And when he doesn't get them, you're frustrated. But that kind of is what is the allure about him, because he does have maybe one of the highest ceilings of any wide receiver. We just saw the Dolphins get torched by Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Think about what they did, right? They fly late Sunday night, and then they have to play Saturday. So they're kind of like missing almost a day and a half of rest, recovery, practice. I think it's going to be freezing in Buffalo. The over-under set at 43 or 42 and a half. The Bills implied total is 25. I'm expecting a magical night from Buffalo. Big time AFC East battle. I think Josh Allen will have one of his best games of the year. I think Gabe Davis is going to have one of his best games of the year. And I think the downfall of Miami continues, especially if you have some of their fantasy playmakers and you're relying on them for your fantasy playoffs. You might be a little disappointed the next couple of weeks. But Gabe Davis, I'm in on him. Not as a wide receiver, too. He's right outside that top 24 for me. But if you have him as a wide receiver three or a flex, he's got to be in.
So if you're swinging for the fences, Gabe Davis is a guy you'd throw out there. Let's say you don't like your lineup. You don't like the competition. Let's say you're playing against Patrick Mahomes this week, right? You're like, I don't like how this is shaping up.
Yeah.
Is Gabe Davis just the remedy you're looking for then? Is that the guy you just say, hey, let's go. Let's let it ride. And let's try to swing for the fences.
Yeah. Hopefully you have enough consistent guys up in your wide receiver one and two, where if he only gets you 6 points, then he kind of, you know, just averages down there, high scores a little bit. But if he can, you know, hit one of those 80-yard touchdowns, it's incredible.
Those are nice.
That's what puts you into the fantasy semifinals, right? Like that kind of risky move, you got to, you know, put some money down to win big.
All right, Pat, it's your birthday. You want to put some money down here? You feeling strong? What do you want to do about Gabriel Davis here? Because Bill's painting a pretty picture here for Gabe Davis. He's feeling it. The snow, the whole thing. It's going to be great. It's going to be, you know, a magical moment, as he put it, in Buffalo. Are you buying it?
Yeah, you guys know we get these start sit questions this time of year for the most important games of the season. And it seems like this time of year, more than any other, people give us the caveat, I need upside here. And sometimes I think people want to make that sort of an excuse for suboptimal decision making, like upside, maybe a reason to play a guy who's just not as good a percentage play. Gabe Davis is one of those rare guys where I will actually indulge the I need upside argument, because we know what the upside is with him. And, you know, if you're an underdog, you can land a haymaker with Gabe Davis. Now, you can also swing wildly and miss with him, and that's probably what's going to happen more often than, you know, connecting on your opponent's chin. But anyway, my lower ranking than Bill. First of all, I just want to say this has nothing to do with weather. It's going to be some great holiday viewing on Saturday. This is the Saturday night.
Saturday night,
right?
Yeah.
And they're expecting a couple inches of snow during this one. But, I don't think the snow is really going to have any bearing on offensive function in this game. And the wind is going to be like 10 to 15 miles an hour, not really a big factor. But, yeah, like, Davis has had under 40 receiving yards in three straight games and five of his last seven. He's only had one game this season with more than seven targets. He's had two touchdowns in his last seven games. I mean, the matchup isn't terrible, but Miami's only allowed 9 TD catches to wide receivers this season. It's always feast or famine with these guys, and Gabe Davis stakeholders right now could really use a sandwich. They've been hungry lately. So, man, I hope he gives it to him if you're forced to use him this week. But it's always just so hard to predict when the smash games are going to come with this guy.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Pristine Auction. Pristine Auction is the most trusted sports memorabilia auction site with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. Auctions at pristineauction.com start at just $1, and each day there are over 1,000 autographed items available, so you win signed authentic signatures at affordable prices. They have just about every player you could possibly want, including Tom Brady, Mahomes, and so many more. Every item on Pristine Auction comes with a certification of authenticity from the industry's most reputable authenticators, and you can upgrade your collection of signed memorabilia today and get $10 off your first item when you use the code FANTASY. Again, that's one word, just FANTASY, to be sure to sign up now at pristineauction.com/register. So here's what you do. You go to pristineauction.com/register and use that promo code
fantasy, one word fantasy, because there are deals ending every single day that you're missing out on right now. So go get to it. Again, that's code fantasy for $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia at pristineauction.com/register. And now back to the action.
Well, here's a fun one. This was our sleeper waiver wire pickup of the week, Elijah Moore. 10 targets against Buffalo Bills last week, this week against Detroit. And listen, Magic Mike White soldiering through. He says he's playing. You know why? Because Mike White, he wants this job next year. God, I love this kid. Let's go. I'm rooting for Mike White. Again, I talked nice about Ezekiel Elliott before. Now I'm saying nice things about Jets quarterbacks. I don't know what's become of me in 2022. It's just all unraveled. But let's talk about it. Because, Bill, you've got him at wide receiver 45. Pat's at 50. ECR is ahead of both of you at 43. So the trend is going upward here. Bill, is Elijah Moore somebody you can pick up off the waiver wire and play this week with any confidence?
I think if we find out that Corey Davis is out, Moore will be up even more. I might put him into my top 36. The 10 targets was a great sign. Listen, there's no doubt that he was in the doghouse for a couple of weeks here with the Jets. Maybe he got his way out of it. When he gets 10 targets, that is something that you got to take note of. Mm-hmm. And the Lions defense, the great thing about them is, listen, they score a lot of points. They give up a lot of points.
Yes, they do.
Especially to wide receivers. I think they've given up like the third most over the last 5 weeks. They're one of two teams to allow over 1,000 yards to wide receivers in their last five games. So I'm in on the Jets offense this week. I think this could be one of those sneaky matchups where you might not look at Detroit and the Jets as two really good fantasy offenses, but this week could be surprising a lot of people. Maybe some DFS stacks could transition that way as well. So I might be in on Eli Moore even more than I am now.
Pat, come on now. Let's go. This is our opportunity to start some Eli Moore, have some fun. You want to do it? You want to get in on this? If indeed Corey Davis is up, how far up does Elijah Moore slide up your ranking potentially?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to move him up, at least half a tier. Right now he's wide receiver 50 for me. He probably goes into the low 40s. I am basing my ranking on the assumption that Davis is going to play, but if he's scratched, Moore definitely goes up. I don't have any fundamental issues with Bill like moving him into wide receiver 3 range if Davis is out. He's a good player. I like the matchup. But Joe, we have done a lot of shows together this season, not just these ranking shows, but betting pros shows. And you know that I've been pretty pro Jets this season, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been like, you know, their defense is amazing.
Me too. I've been sticking up for that D all year. And once Mike White rolled into town, I was like, let's go. Let's fire it up.
And I do love that their offense is way more functional with Mike White than it was with Zach Wilson. But I also do think people might be going just a smidge overboard with Mike White and trying to turn him into the second coming of Joe Willie Namath. And
that's also very possible.
I'm not quite there. So, I just don't know if we should have Garrett Wilson in wide receiver 1 range. Tyler Conklin is like a low end tight end 1. And
it is the Lions,
Elijah Moore.
Pat. That's the only counter argument. It is the Lions. I mean, the Minnesota D is also a gift that keeps giving, and they keep giving. They look pretty good in that comeback a couple weeks ago, too. I know it's hard to wrap our mind around it because we've seen so much bad Jets offense, but I don't think it's a must start, but I think it's a can start when it comes to Elijah Moore. It's time for the throwdown where Pat tells me I'm wrong usually about a guy I'm higher on than ECR. This week, it's one of Pat's boys. It's Christian Watson. I have him as wide receiver 16. ECR is at 25. That's a 9-point difference. That's absurd. Christian Watson, since week 10, you ready for this? Wide receiver 2, wide receiver 5, wide receiver 8, wide receiver 6. He has, get this, 6 touchdowns, okay, in those last 4 games. Okay, come on now. Actually, more than that. What am I saying? 5, 6, 7, 8 touchdowns in the last 4 games.
Yeah.
Because he had the run there, too. I forgot about that. Okay, Pat, what more does this guy have to do? Come on, please tell me I'm right about this one.
I, too, have him wide receiver 16, Joe.
All
right. I'm right there with you. Yeah,
2 for 2 today.
At some point, you just have to throw your hands up. Like, it shouldn't be happening. You shouldn't be scoring at, like, this ridiculous pace. But, man, the touchdown.
Jalen Ramsey can't catch him. He's old. I know I'm old. I can't run like I used to either. Well, he's not catching Christian Watson in open field. It is not happening, folks.
The Rams just are just the ball. The Rams are not a skull and crossbones matchup for wide receivers anymore.
All right.
I have him at 11. I thought that was too low.
Oh, wow.
You know what? After this, I got to move him to 11 because it's absurd. The guy's a wide receiver one every week. You got to put this guy in there. You want to talk about touchdown equity in the playoffs? Look, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But it's all right there in front of you. You got to try with this guy. Off a bye. The weather favors the Packers. The Rams are the Rams right now. I know they beat the Raiders, but who cares? Like, that was a crazy Thursday night debacle. I can't buy into it, but you can buy into Christian Watson, man. The guy's just been on fire. And look, again, who is going to catch him? Because it ain't Ramsey in an open field. I'm telling you right now, forget that. That's a bunch of noise. Let's start with the running backs here, and let's start with David Montgomery of the Chicago Bears.
Running back rankings.
Now, hopefully getting Justin Fields back. He was ill today, did not practice. We'll keep an eye on that. He's day-to-day, but then again, aren't we all? 15 points against Green Bay, 13 against the Jets. So he's still putting up some decent fantasy points. Pat, you've got him at RB19. Bill's got him at 28. ECR actually a little bit closer to Bill at 26. So I know this game is at home for them. What are your thoughts here taking on the Eagles team that ranks kind of in the middle of the pack defensively against running backs?
Well, in the three games since Bears backup running back Khalil Herbert got hurt, Montgomery is averaging 19.3 opportunities per game, meaning carries plus targets, and 100.3 yards from scrimmage per game. So from week 11 to week 13, he was the RB6 in half point PPR scoring. And the Eagles really, I think people look at them as being some sort of daunting matchup, but they really aren't for running backs. Their pass defense is fantastic, but if anything, that incentivizes opponents to run against the Eagles. And they're just kind of, I think, middle of the pack in rushing yards against, running back receptions against. So not a bad matchup for Montgomery at all here. And he's been productive ever since the Herbert injury.
Now, Bill, you and the consensus are a little less passionate about David Montgomery this week. A pretty good variance between you guys and Pat. That being said, game script, I imagine, would portend to the Eagles being up again. And that's, you know, possibly something that could also be a bad situation for David Montgomery. How do you see that? Is that a game script built into your ranking? Is that why he's a little bit lower in your group?
Yeah, the Bears are 9-point underdogs in this one. And the over-under is 48.5. So there should be some scoring. But just the fact that they're such big underdogs, I do expect the Bears to be into passing situation a little bit earlier than maybe they're accustomed to, because they do want to run the football. But Pat mentioned the Eagles, I think, saying a lot of people expect them to be this daunting matchup. I'm one of those people. I'm afraid of running backs going against the Philadelphia Eagles based on what I saw Derrick Henry do, 5.8 points, and Saquon Barkley, 6 points the last 2 weeks for going up against Philadelphia. They brought in Linval Joseph. They brought in the Ndamukong Suh. They had the rookie Jordan Davis back. I think Howie Roseman did an excellent job. The Washington Commanders exposed the Eagles of having a weakness, and Roseman went out and signed two defensive tackles. Veterans brought them, plugged in those running gaps, and we saw the result of that the last 2 weeks against the Titans and the Giants. So I'm a little wary of Montgomery this week.
If Jordan Davis is healthy, that's a huge addition to that front as well. Next guy on the list is Deonta Foreman. Now, last week, he had 22 touches. That sounds great, except he only had 8 half PPR points. I don't know how that exactly happens, but it did. So it was a little frustrating there. Chuba Hubbard got some work as well. So the yardage total was there, but not a whole lot of extras, as we like to call them. Pat, you've got him as RB24 this week in your rankings. Obviously, still very startable as a low-end RB2. Bill, meanwhile, has him at RB31, much closer to, I would say, that flex conversation. ECR in between you guys at 27. So, Pat, let's talk about this matchup here. Carolina taking on Pittsburgh. Now, you can throw the ball pretty well on Pittsburgh, running it a little bit different of a story. It's very hard to use a lot of data we have on Carolina because the quarterbacks have changed so frequently. Really don't know what the identity of this offense is. But to the best of your ability, what do you think the identity of the Carolina Panthers is now with Sam Darnold these last few weeks? And is it something we can invest in with Deonta Foreman?
The identity is to mask Sam Darnold, Joe. So, yes, I mean, it's an identity that favors the running backs here. And we saw that last week with the Panthers giving their running backs 39 total carries. And it wasn't just Foreman. It was also Chuba Hubbard and Raheem Blackshear. So
right.
Since week 7, Foreman has averaged 19.3 carries and 85.7 rushing yards a game. We know he doesn't give you anything in the passing game. So really, like, low-end RB2 is pretty much the upside here. But they are going to run the ball and try to, you know, mask their quarterback deficiencies as best they can. That's kind of been the MO here for them the last few weeks. And, you know, the Steelers, they were really easy to run on last year. They've kind of fixed some of their problems with run defense this year. They're still a neutral matchup. I wouldn't say really a difficult matchup for running backs. But what I like here is that the Panthers are actually favored in this game. So you figure the run, the game script is probably going to remain run friendly. And, you know, they're going to be able to do that and do their thing and try to minimize the impact that Sam Darnold has on this offense. I guess I shouldn't say that. Darnold hasn't been terrible since
terrible. But still, three words you don't hear very often. Panthers are favored. Those are three words we don't hear all that often together. Down to Foreman's game log, Bill, when you look at it. Good game against Tampa, then a great game against Atlanta. The only other great game was also against Atlanta. The rest has been kind of slogging, and I know some injuries in between and all of that. So what's your expectations here? It's a week one of the playoffs, basically. This is where we're at round one. Do you think that Foreman is somebody you should feel good about flexing? Because that's who you, that's basically where you have him. Or are you concerned a little bit, too, of this dual backfield kind of situation eating itself?
I think given his volume, you have to be confident using him as your flex. 31, 24, 21 carries through the last four games. Pat said it. He's not involved in the passing game at all. And that is what kind of caps his upside. I think he has five catches all season. His snap percentage went down. Like when Blackshear and Hubbard were out, Foreman was at like a 70% snap share. It went down to 47% this past week. And Hubbard was more efficient. They got the same amount of carries last week. And Hubbard outpaced what Foreman, or excuse me, they had the same amount of yards last week. Hubbard had significantly less carries for the same amount of yards. So the efficiency scares me a little bit. And Hubbard and Blackshear both scored touchdowns. Foreman hasn't scored in three games. So that part is a little concerning. But given his volume, they're still giving him the ball. And Pat said it too. I think it is to kind of mask what Sam Darnold does. So I think as a flex, totally fine with it.
All right. One more guy that Pat is higher on than Bill. Let's talk about this one here. It's Cordarrelle Patterson. Now, CP coming off a bye week here, also has a new quarterback in Desmond Ridder. Pat, you've got him ranked as RB31. Bill has him at 39. The ECR had him at 37 yesterday. Today, that's moved now to 32. So a little bit of movement forward here on Patterson. I'm not exactly sure why, but let's talk about this. The unknown factor here. We are in the playoffs. You want to get your best lineup in, but obviously we don't know what this offense is with Desmond Ridder under center. So how confident are you in what Patterson can offer both on the rushing side and on the receiving end?
I'm confident that the Falcons are going to continue to tilt run heavy. Another instance, I think, where they're going to want to protect Ridder and you know, make this as easy on him as possible. So a lot of running, a lot of play action. But we do know that there are going to be multiple backs involved. Tyler Allgeier has continued to have a pretty big role, and you know, Caleb Huntley works in now and again. And we have seen Patterson go through a touchdown drought. After scoring five touchdowns in his first five games, he's gone scoreless in his last four. So his weekly ECR has been sort of starting to trend downward, and maybe people are feeling a little less confident in him. I guess the one thing that gives me confidence is the, you know, idea that they are going to want to run to protect Ridder and make things easier for him. And maybe the other one, like, I don't know if the Saints should be considered a plus matchup, but we did see Patterson in the season opener run for 120 yards and a touchdown against them. Mm-hmm. And last season against the Saints, there was a game where he had 126 receiving yards. So I don't know, maybe there's something about the Saints that gets Patterson revved up, but,
now, Patterson, by the way, Bill had two touchdowns in his returning game after being out for several weeks. Hasn't had a touchdown since. I always say in the playoffs, you're looking for guys who have touchdown equity. That's the difference maker for me. I don't care if it's a standard league PPR. I don't care. You want the guys to bring touchdown equity. And my concern is how much he brings to the table this week. Pat makes a great point though. He's had some smash games against New Orleans. So what's your temperature on Cordarrelle this week?
I'm worried about those touchdowns, too. The Saints only allowed one touchdown to opposing running backs since week nine. Patterson's still very efficient with the football, averaging over like 5 yards per carry in his last three games. Problem is, he's only had 11 rushing attempts. And that kind of volume, even though the efficiency there, that kind of volume just doesn't bode well for big time fantasy points. When you factor in, I'm not expecting a lot of touchdowns. The Saints don't give up a lot of touchdowns, and Patterson hasn't really found the end zone. I don't want to invest in my fantasy playoffs with a team starting a rookie quarterback for the first time. I am worried about that. I know Mariota's out now because he had knee surgery, but they made this announcement way before it was decided that Mariota would miss the rest of the season. I don't want to roll the dice with a new signal caller. I consider quarterback the most important position in any sport. I don't want any part of the Falcons playmakers this weekend. If you have to use Patterson, he is outside of my top 36 for running back. So a little bit outside of that flex territory. I understand people are in a position they have to use him. Good luck, but I'm not expecting a lot from him this week.
I'm kind of where you are. If you have to, I get it. Sometimes we just don't have the options.
Yeah.
But if you can avoid it, you might want to try, because I hate the unknown in the playoffs. Yep. Like, I want the things, even if it's something mediocre, at least I know what it is. I can't take zeros. That's my problem right there. But a lot of good information on both sides on that one player. Speaking of investments, by the way, before we get to the guys that Bill likes more than Pat, the Daily Juice. Listen, if you're wagering, you need to be listening to this show. Again, you can watch it on the YouTube channel too. Fantasy Pros, again, we have the Betting Pros channel. Don't forget youtube.com/bettingpros. Subscribe to that. You could also get the Daily Juice every single day. Sean Green is out there giving you content on basketball, on football, college basketball, college football. He's doing everything. I don't know how he does it. I don't know when he sleeps. He's amazing. Go check it out. Bettingpros.com/dailyjuice. You can get it wherever you get your pods, but don't make any wagering moves without checking him out. He's there every single day for you. That's stunning. Bill, let's talk about Ezekiel Elliott. Let's talk about him, because he just keeps falling in the end zone. He has had a touchdown every game since week six, sometimes two. He has had at least 15 points in every single game since week six. I know it's not always pretty, but it's productive. And you've got him as RB11. ECR's got an RB12. Pat, however, is not feeling it. He is not there yet. We have to convince him. And I can't believe I am here stomping for Ezekiel Elliott. That's how weird 2022 has gotten on me. But let's talk about it here, because we talk about looking for touchdowns in the playoffs. Ezekiel Elliott seems to be a walking touchdown lately. Decent matchup here this week as well against Jacksonville. So give us your thoughts on Zeke and why he's an RB1 this week for you.
Five touchdowns in four games. He's finished as RB15 or better in four straight games. You look at what Dallas has done on offense over their last three. They rank third in the NFL with 172 yards on the ground, 48% run percentage versus pass. So very balanced attack. I think the Cowboys are certainly trending up, gearing up for the playoffs. And Zeke looks healthy. There were a couple games where Tony Pollard looked absolutely incredible and Zeke was out with that knee injury. But the last few weeks, I really think Elliott is past that injury. He looks fresh. And a lot of it is because they're giving the ball more to Tony Pollard. So it's not like that 30 carries a game like we've seen at peak Zeke. But I'll certainly take him as a low-end running back one, high-end RB2 this week, because you said it, Joe, he has been falling into the end zone. Five touchdowns in four games. You can't pass up that kind of value when someone's scoring that much.
Yeah, nice 3-week vacation for Zeke in the middle of the season. I'd like to get that, Pat. Maybe I could put in for it. I'll put in with Friedman, see what he says. My guess is no. But look at also what he's done, too, in terms of RB finish. Since week six, RB 11, RB 10, then the 3-week vacation, RB 8, RB 13, 8 and 12. That's a pretty good run here. Why so glum on Zeke?
Well, the funny thing about Zeke, you guys, is that he has had pretty much, for yardage and usage, he has been the same guy the entire season. It's like every week, 15 carries, 63 yards, very little usage in the passing game. He's got 14 catches on the year for 73 yards. So like, there's not a lot to get that excited about there. I guess it's nice that he gets the 15 touches every week, but the touchdowns, one in his first five games, I believe. And now he is just on a rampage with eight in his last six. So how much do you want to bet on the touchdown equity that you talked about being so important, Joe? Like, I tend to be a little skeptical of the guys whose fantasy production is so heavily touchdown based. And I think that's kind of the case with Zeke and why I just can't get there as far as having him as an RB1. I mean, I think you're playing him under most circumstances, probably, you know, unless it's a real shallow, a 10 team league and, you know, you've got four top 20 running back options, maybe he gets squeezed out of the picture a little bit. But yeah, hard to argue with what the Dallas offense has been doing and, you know, the way he's been just punching in touchdowns. But, you know, I've still got Tony Pollard ranked higher this week.
Well, that's fair. Goodness knows how much I like Tony Pollard. That's for sure. Speaking of touchdown dependent, let's talk Jamal Williams, right? Doesn't get more than that. 14 touchdowns in 13 games. That's what he does. That's what he does. He is a touchdown machine, Jamal Williams. He is RB20 in Bill's rankings this week. ECR is with 21, right where Bill is. And then Pat's at 26. Now, I've noticed overnight the ECR has moved a little bit to RB24, still in the same general range here. They're taking on the Jets this week. Jets defense has been pretty stout. We got to give them a lot of credit here. But Bill, once again, we're talking about touchdown equity. I mean, if you look it up in the dictionary this year, it's Jamal Williams, but it is a muddy backfield. Swift is there. Jackson's getting touches. It seems like a difficult thing. Plus, Jared Goff, we always talk about it. He's an indoor cat, not an outdoor cat. He goes outside. All of a sudden, that offense typically isn't as prolific. So what do you make of Jamal Williams' fantasy value in week 15?
Yeah, you brought up Goff. He certainly has struggled on the road this year. I do think they lean on the run a little bit more because of that. Jets defense, they've been playing great. Quinnen Williams might not play. That's a big loss for their interior defensive front if Williams is not going to be able to play this weekend against the Lions. And listen, I know touchdowns are hard to predict, but when it comes to Jamal Williams, baby, this guy is, he has a magnet for that goal line. It's incredible to watch him this year. Take away his touchdowns, and he's probably outside the top 65. But the fact that he's scoring and is scoring multiple times a game, I find it hard not to rank him inside my top 20. 20, I think I have him at 20 this week or 21. That's low for me. Usually I have him in my top 15. But because of the matchup with the Jets, I downgraded him a little bit. But the guy's just, he's scoring at an incredible rate. And it's really hard not to get some of that action into your lineup.
Well, he's absolutely in the flex conversation. I guess the point is, Pat, who are the kind of guys that you're starting over Jamal Williams this week? Because I can understand looking for guys who might have more touches. I mean, if you look in the rankings right now, Zonovan Knight is ahead of him, right? In that same game, which I can understand that he's going to touch the football more. But is that what you need? You got to make sure you're just locking in a real true volume guy who also has touchdown equity. Because if you can't, why not just roll the dice with Jamal Williams, who just keeps finding the end zone?
Yeah, guys like Knight, guys who have a little bit better touch outlook. And it's not that Jamal Williams' touch outlook has been terrible, but he's not been very effective lately. Like over his last six games, he is averaging 3.35 yards per carry. And over his last six games, he has zero catches, one target, zero catches. So it's basically all about the touchdown value here. And he's going up against a Jets defense that has allowed seven touchdown runs all season. So I know that the Quinnen Williams injury is big, although I thought they seemed like it was going to be a multi-week injury at the time. But now I thought they said there's a chance he could possibly play this week, which would be kind of miraculous. I'll feel better about him if Quinnen Williams is out, because that guy's a wrecking ball. But yeah, I'm a little worried that he has not been all that effective as a runner lately. And maybe that's why DeAndre Swift got a little more run 2 weeks ago. But then we saw, you know, everyone who was ready to get back on the Swift bandwagon. He was very disappointing last week. So it's a murky backfield. And yeah, I mean, if you start Jamal, you're hoping for a touchdown, because if you don't get it, I mean, I don't think you've got 120 yard rushing upside here against the Jets.
No, you don't. You definitely don't have that. And the Williams injury certainly would be a huge one to Quinnen Williams, that is. Let's get to the last guy on Bill's list. It's higher than Pat. It's Brian Robinson. The last time we saw Brian Robinson, it was a 12-point half PPR performance against the New York Giants. This time we're getting the Giants again, but in his own field, a little bit of extra rest here. Does that do the rookie good here, Bill Enright? Because you've got him at 21. ECR is at 28. Pat's at 33, so even lower. Now, I don't know if Pat's made an adjustment to that since, but what are your thoughts on Brian Robinson this week around? Because last time we saw him, it wasn't so much Antonio Gibson we were worried about. Does that enter into your concern at all in week 15?
No, not necessarily, only because the Giants defense, they're really banged up. I don't think Leonard Williams is going to play. Their rookie linebacker, Michael McFadden, is supposed to be out. They have just been getting run over by opposing running backs. 92 yards to Ezekiel Elliott. Brian Robinson just 2 weeks ago had 96, as you mentioned. 144 yards to Miles Sanders last week. I think the Giants are a little bit deflated. I'm a Giants fan. It pains me to say this. I expect the Commanders to win. They're 4.5-point favorites in this one. A lot of Brian Robinson running to close out the fourth quarter. And he's looked a lot better. He started off the year, and this is a guy that got shot too. So I think he's starting to get healthy, but I think he's starting to figure out the NFL a little bit more. If you look at his average, the first 10 games or the first 8 games that he played, he was right around that 3.6 mark. He had 5.8 in week 12, 4.6 in week 13. I think this is one of those running backs where he's getting more adjusted to his game plan on offense and the pro competition that he's facing in the NFL.
Pat, you know the Commanders want to run the football. So that being said, volume is indeed king, and he's going to get those opportunities, especially against the Giants defense that's banged up. Is there a case to be made here for Brian Robinson, or what is holding you back here in the rankings from him this week in particular?
There is a case to be made for him, and I've bumped him up a spot or two, and I might have to bump him up a little more. Bill makes a good case about the Giants defense being really susceptible to the run of late. And also, I totally agree with Bill that Robinson's looked a lot better. Like, I was kind of early in the season, I thought they were taking valuable touches away from Antonio Gibson because Brian Robinson just looked like a plotter to me. And he's been a lot more, like, speed is not his calling card, but he's been more elusive lately. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it seems like he's breaking more tackles. And he's averaged 20 carries a game over his last 4 games. I think that's the attraction here. But we do know he's going to split work with Gibson. We know he's not going to do much in the passing game. He's got 8 catches for 42 yards on the season, and he scored 3 touchdowns. And we're just as likely to see Antonio Gibson in the backfield if the Commanders have the ball inside the 10 or inside the 5 as we are to see Robinson. So I guess those are kind of my reservations. But yeah, I'm probably a little low on him. You know, realistically, I think he's like a higher end to mid-range RB3.
All right, let's get to that point in the show where we obviously talk about the guys that I am higher on than ECR. And at the running back position on the rankings throwdown, we have Isaiah Pacheco. I've got him very high this week. ECR has got him at 14. I've got him at 10. I love him in this game. He looks ferocious running the football. There's touchdown equity because Mahomes in the dome throws the ball all over the place. And there's a good chance they're going to have a lead and have to sit on it. That means more Isaiah Pacheco. So I love him this week. I'm all in. Pat, I know it's not a huge difference, but am I wrong to be so high on Isaiah P this week?
No, I'm with you, Joe. I've got him running back 12.
All right.
Yeah, you like the Texans matchup, man. And like, there's no Clyde Edwards-Helaire yet. Presumably, he's not going to be back. Texans have given up 1,834 rushing yards and 16 touchdown runs to running backs. Basically, they turn every back they're going against into LaDainian Tomlinson. So yeah, I'm high on Pacheco.
Let's go. It's Isaiah Pacheco time. It's also time for our listener mailbag, everybody.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Obviously, these questions come straight from our Discord, fantasybros.com/chat. If you haven't already, go join. It's still free. You can hang out and talk off-season football, playoff football, get you all set up. But when you're a premium member, you get access to stages, AMAs, and a whole lot more. Let's talk about why so bad, Pog, and their question. I don't know what that name means, but everyone's got a lot of creative names on the stages, and on the Discord, rather, excuse me. So they want to know, drop Rashad White for J.K. Dobbins. I'm going to hit you with this one, Bill. So obviously, J.K. Dobbins, I think, safe to say, outperformed a lot of our expectations for his first week back. I think a lot of us were like, let's just see how it goes. Well, 15 for 120 and a touchdown later in RB9, we all wish we had just played him. So this week he gets Cleveland. It feels like Dobbins is the way to go. Is that the way you're going? Because my goodness, this Bucs offense is not exactly thrilling.
Do we know if it's PPR?
We do not know if it is or if it is not. So let's call it half PPR so nobody's happy.
All right. I think half point PPR, I don't know. I'd keep Rashad White, I think. The Ravens are offense. To me, it's a mess. I know Dobbins had a good game last week. He came out and said, I'm still not healthy yet. We don't know who's going to be their quarterback. If Lamar or Huntley do come back, is that going to affect how much Dobbins gets, especially if Lamar comes back and we see his rushing ability? I'm a little bit wary of that Baltimore backfield. Gus Edwards was still involved last week. I never like to take away, if you take away that big run, I hate doing that. Right. So I won't do that with Dobbins. But we have seen enough of Rashad White in that Bucs offense to know he's a big part of that game plan. And Brady trusts him, and he's in there on passing downs, and he's catching a lot of he's having a lot of receptions. He's doing a really good job in pass protection. So I'd keep Rashad White here.
Pat, for you, is this also very system-based too? If it's PPR, you kind of still want Rashad White, but if it's half or maybe standard, obviously the touchdown equity of Dobbins might be greater in that offense.
Yeah, I love how Bill immediately asked about format because it's so big here because these guys their profiles are so different. I mean, one guy who does almost nothing in the passing game, and then like even with White and Fournette splitting work last week, like there were 12 catches to go around between the two of them. I mean, Tom Brady just checks down to his running backs so often that in PPR, I would definitely want to stick with White. Standard, I'd probably lean towards Dobbins, and kind of on the fence in half PPR. Maybe a slight lean toward Dobbins just because of the volume of carries he got in his first game back last week.
All right, Bill Enright, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Seriously, I love having you on. Jersey representing. Go follow him over on the Twitter machine at Bill Enright. Check out all the amazing stuff he's doing over at Sports Illustrated. Bill, pleasure having you on. Thank you for your insight and your time. I know this time of year, everybody's exhausted and worn out, but look, this is what it's all about. We've gotten to this point. We want to help people win the big one. Pat, as always, happy birthday to you, my friend. Don't forget, everybody, check out the Daily Juice podcast, wherever you get your pods, or you can watch on the YouTube channel, Betting Pros. And of course, the playbook is there for you. fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Go check out My Playbook. Download the My Playbook app. Use the cheat sheets. They're free, everybody, to help you get what you need. I want to thank the sponsor of today's show, Pristine Auction. Head over to pristineauction.com/register today. Use that promo code fantasy. Again, one word, fantasy, for $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia at pristineauction.com. That's pristineauction.com/register. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For the birthday boy, Pat Fitzmaurice and Bill Enright, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it. Tanner girl, go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant.